It's time to get your week started with a Monday Mailbag, presented by Pedialyte. Hydrate and feel better fast. Here to answer all your Columbus Blue Jackets questions is Bob McGilligan.
Happy Solar Eclipse Day. Is that what we're calling it? That's what it is, isn't it? I think so. Anyway, that's what I'm calling it. Welcome to the Blue Jackets Monday Mailbag, brought to you by Pedialyte. I am Bob McElligott, and I am here, as you just heard, for me to answer all of your questions about the Blue Jackets. Well, the Blue Jackets ran into their own path of totality last night in Carolina when their offense was eclipsed by the Hurricanes. I can do this all day, by the way. I can punt it up for you all day if I want to, but I don't want to, so that's lucky for you. But the Blue Jackets could not get anything going against the Carolina Hurricanes last night. Unfortunately, it was kind of one of those games that came as advertised. And when I say that, what I mean is the Carolina Hurricanes are pretty good. They're really good. They are a team that has their sights set once again on hoisting the Stanley Cup. Can they do it? I don't know. Do they have the ingredients to do it? I would say that yes, they do. Will they be able to get it done, as you know, in the Stanley Cup playoffs? Nothing is for certain. So Carolina could win it. Maybe they don't win it. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is they are a really good team. They're a really deep team. They are a team that if you make mistakes, they will capitalize upon them. And the Blue Jackets saw all of that firsthand yesterday when they played in Raleigh because the Hurricanes were all over them right from the get-go. In fact, the very first shot of the game went into the net 17 seconds into the first period. You talk about having a tone pretty much set in a game. There it was. First shot, one goal. Now, that was unfortunate, especially for a guy like Malcolm Subban, because Malcolm hadn't played in the National Hockey League since 2022. And he gets called up because of the injuries the Blue Jackets have in goal, gets a chance to get in that game, and then gives up a goal on the very first shot. But there were many, many shots after that, and Subban did settle in, and he was good. He was fine. That wasn't the problem with the Blue Jackets yesterday. The problem was the offense. And even though it was a problem that they didn't score a goal, they lost 3-0. They hit three posts in that game. So a bounce the other way, one, two, three times, and they're right in the game. But, again, didn't happen, so they lose last night. And I'll tell you another thing that was really evident in the game last night against the Carolina Hurricanes. The talent differential between the Blue Jackets and the Hurricanes. And I'm talking about all of the call-ups that the Blue Jackets have from the American Hockey League right now. Look, it's great that these guys are getting a chance. They're getting opportunities. They're getting big minutes. They're getting to play in different roles, some of them, to see if they can stick in the National Hockey League. But the fact of the matter is there is a talent discrepancy between the Blue Jackets and the Carolina Hurricanes, and maybe the Blue Jackets and anybody else they're going to play throughout the course of the rest of the season. So that was evident, too. That was on display. That's just a matter of fact. So what is on your mind? I would love to know, and some of you have already let me know by sending me your questions on X, the platform formerly known as Twitter. And you can find me there at Bobby Mac Sports. And for those of you that right at this moment are live with me on X Spaces, if you want to request to be a speaker and ask your question live, you are encouraged to do so. But let me go to X and start getting some of the questions that I already have here. And Mark Correll is going to be first up. He says, we pretty much locked into the fourth best lottery odds, but since it's us, it might as well be 0%. I don't know what this roster is missing other than healthy bodies. Again, is it coaching, structure, line combinations? Is it really center depth still with Sillinger now, Fantilli, Voronkov? Is it the D? Well, I can't believe that you didn't bring up goaltending because you've covered everything else, Mark. You have everything on this list except the goaltending. And what is the answer to your question? What is this roster missing? It's missing a little bit of everything that you said. And when I say missing, sometimes it's not missing bodies and it's not missing talent. Sometimes it is missing chemistry. And I've talked to you about this all year long. You can have the best players. I mean, look out through the course of history. I don't care what sport it is. It really doesn't matter. You look through the course of history, And many times, you can assemble an all-star team. You can put the highest paid players, well, before salary caps came into play. You can still do this in baseball, by the way. You can put the highest paid players on the same team. And they can play different positions. It's not like you have you're grabbing two high-priced first basemen and one of them has to play third. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about getting what is considered to be the best player at every position. And you can put them together, and guess what? You can still lose. John Davidson was talking about this, I think it was when we were in Arizona. We were sitting in the stands prior to the morning skate, and we were just, you know, talking hockey. And, you know, John Davidson talked about the New York Rangers teams pre-salary cap, that they would just do what I said. They would just go out, and they would get the quote-unquote best guys, the highest-priced guys, and put them on the roster, and they didn't win anything. The New York Yankees, how many times did they go out and do that, put together these all-star teams and come up with no World Series championship? It's just how it is sometimes. It's not only getting the right talent, it's getting the right combination of talent. And sometimes you can have a lesser talented player, somebody that on paper doesn't measure up to somebody else, but when they're in this certain situation, they outperform their expectations. That's where I think the Blue Jackets need to go. Let's just break down. I always use this example about Patrick Laine and Johnny Gaudreau. Why can't they play together? Why doesn't it work? I don't know, but I know it doesn't, right? When they're on the ice at the same time, it just doesn't. It hasn't in the last 2 years. So you put somebody else over there on the other wing, and we've seen this throughout the course of this season, especially with Patrick Laine being injured. Alex Nylander. Let's just go with Alex Nylander because that's the current situation. Why does Alex Nylander work with Patrick Laine? If you were assembling a team, if you were allowed to build from scratch and I let you pick any players that you wanted to pick and put them on your team and then put them in line combinations, tell me you are honestly, and I'm talking about before this experiment, okay? Tell me you would honestly pick Alex Nylander to be on your team, and not only that, to put him on the top line with Johnny Gaudreau. Tell me you would do that, and I'll tell you you're a liar, because you wouldn't do it if it were that situation. But he works with Johnny Gaudreau, whereas Patrick Laine doesn't work with Johnny Gaudreau. So see, there's a first-class example of what I'm talking about. It's not always the most talented. It's what is the fit? How do those two players read off of one another? How do they react to one another? What do they do when they're on the ice together? Okay? So, Mark, what does this team need? It needs a little bit of everything that you were just talking about. You know, with the coaching, you're talking about your examples are structure and line combinations. I think the structure is fine. I think now that they've settled into what they're doing as a team, whereas at the beginning of the year, they weren't really settled into that. They didn't play the system well, that they were the new system that they were putting in place. They didn't play it well. I think they do now. I think the structure is fine. I think the accountability stuff is fine. The line combinations, you can only do what you can do with this lineup the way it is right now. You can never have enough centermen, I don't think. But yes, Sillinger, Fantilli, Voronkov, that gives you a good three. Jenner can play at the center position like he has been. Maybe you get deep enough, you can move him out of that position. You know, fourth line center, Corrali is here right now. Even when he's not here, you can find a fourth line centerman. I don't think that's not the big problem it used to be. I don't think it's fixed either, quite frankly. But the center position is not the big problem it used to be. The big question to me with that position is, can Cole Sillinger be a second line center? Can Adam Fantilli be a top line center? I think he can. I think he will. Can Cole Sillinger be a second line centerman, or is he a third or fourth line centerman? That's the question for me at that position. And the defense, well, the defense is the defense. I mean, you've got big contracts to Severson and Werenski. You know, Provorov, he's got one more year left on his deal. Is he a part of it or is he not a part of it next year and beyond? We'll have to find that out. So it needs tweaked. There's no question it needs tweaked. The next account here on X says, write name here. That's a great X handle. Anyway, here's the question. Before the Blue Jackets took the Monsters' best players, they were on pace to win their division. For this team, who do you think could fight for the NHL for an NHL roster spot next season? And who are just a step behind, very likely, in the AHL, but the first ones up when called? All right, let's see. Brendan Gaunce is doing a fine job here, but I still think he's going to be one of those top-line guys in the American Hockey League, role player when he comes up to the National Hockey League. You've got Carson Meyer. I think, and it depends on what your team is, if you have a team that has Matthew Olivier and Justin Danforth on the fourth line, Carson Meyer is not going to have a spot here. If you don't have one or both of those players, I could see him making an argument for that. But I'll tell you who makes a bigger argument right now and has made a really loud argument just by being himself is James Malatesta. James Malatesta, in just a couple of games, and I know it's a small sample size and all that stuff, but he is a particular type player. He's an energy player. He's a role player. I think he's one of the guys that has the biggest advantage in coming up here from Cleveland because he doesn't have to change his game. He is the same player here, and he will be put in the same role here, and he has been put in the same role here as he is when he's in Cleveland. I think that is a huge advantage for him. Brendan Gaunce and Carson Meyer had tons of minutes in Cleveland. They've had to cut it back and play lesser roles, more energy roles, not scoring roles. They've had to change what they've done all season long. James Malatesta hasn't had to change anything. In fact, if he changed something, it would probably be to his demise. Don't ever change. If you're James Malatesta, the way that you play the game, I think he has really opened some eyes here in a short period of time. I thought in a game yesterday where the Blue Jackets had no offense, I think he still found a way to stand out in that game, quite honestly. So I think he is a guy that has a legitimate shot. I almost said spot. That's wrong. Legitimate shot at grabbing a spot. That's what I'm trying to say. Next year. The other guys, I mean, Juracek, he could stick. It's just going to depend who else is here on the blue line. I mean, if you're set the way that you are right now, he looks like is he going to be able to be in the top six, or is he going to be a seven guy that's going to be around and in and out of the lineup? That's not what they want. So, that one kind of relies upon. He's going to be in the lineup on an everyday basis at some point. Is it going to be at the start of next year? I'm not sure. Just have to wait and see how that works out. Shane says, personally, I like Pascal Vincent. I hope he gets to finish out his contract next year. But with that said, do you think he is the right head coach for this team? Well, I agree with you on the personally part. Personally, I too like Pascal Vincent. I think he is a guy that got stuck into a rather unique and bad situation right before training camp. I think he has done the best that he could have done with the bad situation, and he has tried to drive home accountability. He has made some bold decisions, personnel decisions, at times throughout the course of this season. I haven't minded that. I haven't minded it one bit. I think he has treated his highest paid player like his lowest paid player throughout the course of this year. I have no problems with the way that he has done things from that standpoint. Is he the right coach for this team? I don't know. But I don't know because, again, you know, when you had the horses, they weren't playing like they're playing now. And there were reasons for that. I mentioned that whole system change that they were going through, and it took them time to get acclimated to that system change. So, if everybody was still around now and not as injured Now, would they be playing this same way? Or are you now coaching a team that knows that the season's over? They really don't have anything to lose. They're playing, you know, worry-free hockey in many ways. They are. And can you gauge off what they're doing now? You can. I mean, you can and they will to certain extents, especially when it is evaluating some of these young players that happen to be up in the lineup right now. But I don't know. I don't know if Pascal is the right coach for this team. How do you ever know until you have a set lineup and you have the guys on your roster that you know are the right guys? When you have that combination, when as a general manager you say, okay, now I know. I've got this piece. Look at this Tampa team we're going to play tomorrow here. In the Carolina team that we played yesterday, they know what their pieces are. They know exactly what they have. They structured it specifically. Those teams are structured to be exactly what they are. And then they have somebody that can coach those players in that system. So I don't think you can really evaluate him until there is a general manager and they say, this is how I want my team to play. Do I have the horses to play that way? Okay, I don't have the horses. I'm going to go out and do some horse trading. Okay, now I think I have it. Do I have the person that I think can run this? And those are just the questions that are going to be asked. So I don't know. I, as you said, Shane, on a personal level, I really like Pascal Vincent, but the coach is always tied to the general manager. And, again, there's not a general manager right now, so we'll have to see if he fits into the plans of whoever that new person is when they get hired. I think that's where I'm at with it right now. Let me see. Do I have anything else here on X that you may have asked that I need to answer for you? And if you don't and you want to put something up there, just go ahead. And if you're with me live on X Spaces right now and you want to ask your question, just request to be a speaker and I'll bring you on. And you can do just that. So, yeah, I mean, here we are, right? It's the 8th of April. There's 1 week and 1 day left in the season for the Blue Jackets. They've got 3 more games on this trip. They come home and play Carolina next Tuesday, and then that's it. It's over for the year. And then the heavy lifting really does start to get done. I don't think there's any question about that. I'm not saying that there's no lifting going on right now, because I am sure that the Blue Jackets are, you know, exploring the possibilities for that general manager position right now, but that will get more hot and heavy after the season ends, after the business of what we do day in and day out here to get through this season with this group of players. Once that's over, then there will be a much higher focus put on that GM position and the hiring of that GM position. So you've got the 4 games left. You know, this trip is it's a gauntlet of a trip. Let's be honest about it. We were talking yesterday prior to the game in Carolina, and somebody said, could you imagine if you were in a spot like so many other teams in the East are right now, the Islanders and the Penguins and the Red Wings and the Capitals, teams that are just battling to try to get that second wild card spot and get into the playoffs. Could you imagine if you were in that situation and you had to play this schedule at the end, where you're on a road trip that takes you through Carolina, Tampa, Florida, Nashville? I mean, it's a gauntlet of a trip. And you're going through it with, you know, again, worry-free hockey, as I said earlier. You're not playing for a playoff spot. But, man, if you were, this trip would be there would be very little fun in this trip, I'll tell you that, because it would be all business. No question about that. So, you know, these schedules, and this schedule this year, I don't know how much I've talked about this on here, but I've gone on other shows and we've talked about the schedule, and I think this is, this to me is one of the craziest schedules that I have seen. It is a really strange schedule this year. I think we've had one of the weirdest travel schedules, especially just look this month at the trips. There's been a 5-game road trip and now a four-game road trip this month. So it's been weird. It's been tough. But you know what? They make the schedule. Teams play it out. And that's pretty much the way that it goes. I was talking about those playoffs. They change every day now in the East. Every single day, it changes to something different. I mean, yesterday, you know, the Hurricanes win. They're trying to catch the Rangers in the Metropolitan Division. The Red Wings beat the Sabres. That gave them points to get back into the playoff race. The Capitals lost in overtime, so they got 1 point to try to, you know, stay in that. But Philadelphia, they had been in a playoff spot for 123 days, I think it was, something like that, until they came to Nationwide Arena and got knocked out of that playoff spot on Saturday night. And now the Flyers find themselves having to jump over teams just to try to get back into the conversation. But here's where it's really, really weird in the East and in the Metropolitan Division specifically. You've got the Rangers at the top of the division. They now have 110 points to the New York Rangers. And the Rangers, oh, by the way, they played yesterday, and they won at home. They beat Montreal, so they're up to 110 on the season now. And they have the highest point total in the league. They're trying to win the President's Trophy. Are you ever trying to win that trophy? Because to me, that trophy is the kiss of death. How many times do you win the President's Trophy and win the Stanley Cup? It just seems like the President's Trophy thing can be a kiss of death. Ask the Tampa Bay Lightning about getting that trophy in 2019 and how long that lasted. It lasted four more games, and then they got to sit and talk about that trophy and not the one they really wanted. But then they did get that one they really wanted the next 2 years, so paid off for them. But you've got the Rangers with 110 points. You now have Carolina with 105 points. And then the New York Islanders are in third place in the Metropolitan Division. You know what they have? 85 points. 85. A drop-off of 20 points between second place and third place. And you know what that creates? That creates a situation where, let's just say, with that age-old adage, if the playoffs were to start today, let's go with that one. If the playoffs were to start today in the East, you would have the Rangers taking on the Detroit Red Wings. And Detroit, via their win yesterday, they are now sitting 1 point ahead of Pittsburgh, Washington, and Philadelphia. And Detroit, Pittsburgh, Washington all have a game in hand on the Flyers. The Flyers have played one more, which is a little bit detrimental to them right now. But you have Detroit in there right now. So you'd have a 110-point team going up against an 84-point team. Then you'd have Carolina and the New York Islanders playing against each other. 20-point differential there. Okay? So that's in the Metropolitan Division. You would have the top two seeds being 20 points or so ahead of the team that they are taking on in the first round. Go to the Atlantic Division. Different ball of wax here, because you would have Boston playing against Tampa. Boston has 107 points. Tampa has 93. So what is that? A difference of 14. But then here's the real kicker right here. Second and third place as it stands right now, Florida with 102 points. Toronto with 97 points, a 5-point differential. So disparity on paper right there in the Eastern Conference as it is right now. And it's crazy. And like I told you, you've got Pittsburgh, Washington, and Philly. They're all sitting 1 point out of a playoff spot, but all are also 2 points out of third place in the division. It's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. Everything is locked in except third place in the Metro and the second wild card spot. And the only Atlantic Division team that has a prayer is Detroit, and they have that spot right now. And everybody else is battling. Like I said, you could wind up winning the doggone thing and getting into third place. And then, if you wind up in third place, then you play, what did I say here? If you wind up in third, you play Carolina. If you wind up in the second wild card, you take on the Rangers. Pick your poison, right? They're not going to be able to pick because it's just going to be a battle to see who finally gets to where they want to be or where they need to be or however you want to put it. It's going to be a battle for those two spots, and it's going to be interesting to watch because, like I said, it changes every single day. What's going on in the league tonight? Penguins are playing in Toronto, so that means something. But it means a couple of things. I told you Toronto's only 5 points behind Florida, and Florida has been struggling over the last couple of weeks, so the Maple Leafs could make that a three-point gap if they get a win. The Penguins are back in a playoff spot if they get a win. So that's one of two games tonight, and that's going to be an interesting one. And then when you get to the next night, you've got the Capitals and Red Wings are playing each other. Panthers have a chance to pick up points against the Senators. Flyers are in Montreal, where that's very possible to pick up points there. The Rangers take on the Islanders. The Rangers can directly affect what happens to the Islanders' season in that game. So it's crazy. It's nuts, and it will be for the next week or so, because even though the Blue Jackets are done on the 16th, that's Tuesday, there are some teams that aren't done until Thursday. Then the playoffs start Saturday for some of those teams. Good or bad? I don't know. It seems to me that, you know, you can say, well, it's too many games. You'd like to have a bigger break before the playoffs. But then again, some teams would like to just keep playing and be in their routine and be in their system and not take a break and not get out of whack, for lack of a better term. All right, let's go to X Spaces right now and bring on Lester. Lester, welcome to the Blue Jackets Monday Mailbag, presented by Pedialyte here on this Eclipse Day.
You find that all to be crazy, but I find it to be very exciting.
Oh, no, yeah, well, crazy exciting is what it is, yes. I mean, it's something, at least not everybody's locked in, and there's drama from one day to the other day. So it is crazy, but it's a crazy exciting thing, yes.
The team whose situation I like is Detroit, because playing Washington and Pittsburgh twice this week, well, this week on Tuesday and Thursday, and then they finish up with two games with Montreal. They essentially, I think, control their own destiny more so than anybody else does.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that one. Then again, you know, you never know what you're going to get from the teams that are out. Like, you know, the Flyers, after losing in Buffalo, you don't think that they planned on coming in and getting pounded by a 6-2 score in Columbus the other night, right? So who knows if Montreal might be able to reach down and do something in there. Sometimes there's that, you know, sometimes you like to stick it to teams too. Sometimes you just like to stick it to them. And I think Detroit, that's one of those franchises where, yeah, if you get a chance to stick it to them, that's okay.
Yeah, well, I think the Flyers, as I watched them play the other night, they just looked to me like a team that was just out of gas. They didn't look like they had anything in the tank. Didn't look good. I got to give the Blue Jackets credit. You know, probably a lot of people look at the schedule and say, oh, good, we're playing Columbus. There's 2 points. No. The game I'm still sitting on is the one that they took from Pittsburgh a week ago Saturday, because if the Penguins miss the playoffs by a point, believe me, I'm going to let some people never forget it.
Yeah, well, that's where that point would have been. There's no doubt about that. There's no question. You're right.
Yeah. You might think I'm a little crazy. I sit around and play amateur GM sometimes in my spare time thinking, well, I'd make this move or that move. And there's a couple of really interesting free agents this year. I hope somehow, some way, the Blue Jackets are able to pursue them. One I really like is Sam Reinhart. I don't think that Florida is going to be able to retain him, because as it is, they've got about $52 million tied up in some other players, like about 7 or 8 guys. And I don't think give him the contract he would want. I mean, they're just not going to have – they're going to be in a Toronto situation where they're going to be handing out million-dollar contracts to guys like, you know, Max Domi. It's just – I don't see how they could keep him. I think he'd be interesting on our top line with Gaudreau. And another guy I'd like to get, and wouldn't we all, but wouldn't you love to have Jake Gensel and put him up there with Reinhart and Gaudreau? I think we'd have a fantastic top line if we could ever pull that off.
I was talking with Jody Shelley about that yesterday, because it was, I think we were in between the first and second period, And I said that about Jake. I go, he's such a Blue Jackets killer anyway. Wouldn't it be great just to get that guy and let him score for you? And that developed into a conversation. And I'm not saying that Jake would be like this. In fact, I don't think that he would. But you go through and you see players on other teams that are always, they're always scoring against you. And then sometimes you go out and you say, let's just get that guy. Let's get that guy, and then he doesn't do anything for you. I mean, I'm not saying it's happened here recently, but over the course of times, all teams have done that. I mean, there was a time, and I'll tell you when it was for me, when Jeff Skinner was going to Buffalo, I was saying, well, why don't we try to get Jeff Skinner? Because every time he played Carolina, that guy would score one or two goals every single time. And that guy still never played in a playoff game, believe it or not. But, yeah, I like that Jake Guentzel thing, and the Reinhardt's going to be interesting because he just keeps running that goal total up every single day. I don't know what that number is going to be for him. And the one advantage that Florida is going to have, and you and I have talked about this a couple of weeks ago, is the fact that they don't have the state income tax. And they can play with that a little bit. I'm not saying they're going to be able to use that in this case to be able to sign him, but this is where teams can offer a little bit less when it comes to the salary cap because the player is actually going to get more money in their pocket at the end of the day.
Well, see, if you look at how they're structured right now, between Bobrovsky, Ekblad, Kachuk, Barkov, Forsling, and then Verhaeghe and Bennett, they've got about $52 million tied up just in those guys. And Verhaeghe and Bennett are both UFAs next year. So there's just no way that they could keep them all. I mean, like I said, the contract that they would have to give him is still going to push them probably close to $60 million on just like seven or eight guys. That's going to be almost impossible to work out.
Okay, but if you're them, long-term, would you rather have Reinhardt or Bennett?
Well, probably Reinhardt.
Easy to say when he has over 50 goals, I get it. But when you're talking about expiring contracts, and I know they love Carter Verhaeghe because, look, Bill Zito's the guy that took him from Tampa where he was just a role player in Tampa and he became a major player for the Florida Panthers. I don't know. When you say to me Sam Bennett, Sam Reinhardt, I'm keeping Reinhardt over Bennett if I can do that at this point.
Right. Right. But the thing is, when you're in the player's position, you're only that young and that good once. Yes. You're not going to be. And so you got to take what you can get now. You can't, sit there and say, well, I'm going to give somebody a discount. When you could have had a lot more, it's just, that's too much the way that players look at things. And especially when you get into baseball, because if a player took considerably less than his market value, the Players Association would have a conniption.
Oh yeah. No doubt about that. I think you would also have to sell, and I think this goes for any big free agent. I think where the Blue Jackets are right now, you're going to have to sell whoever this new general manager is going to be. You got to sell them on the fact that you're going to be winning here pretty soon. I don't think they want to come and sit. Johnny Gaudreau's now 2 years into his contract, and he hasn't sniffed anything here. So, not a lot of guys that are. Let me put it to you this way before I finish my thought. If I'm signing a guy for big dollars, I want to pay the guy that wants to win, not a guy that just wants to get as much money as he can that one time, and it doesn't matter to him if he wins or loses. And I'm not saying Johnny Gaudreau is like that. I'm just saying you're going to have to sell people on the fact that, if you come here, you're going to be a big part of this. We're going to turn this around quickly, and we're going to start to win games. There's going to be almost a recruitment phase here, I think, when it comes to players like that.
Unfortunately, you are right. I mean, you really have to put up or shut up. I mean, they have to feel like they're going to go there and not. At the end of the day, nobody wants to lose every night. That's the thing. Nobody wants to. They're still in to win. They are competitors.
Right. And so give me the guy that says, you know what, I will come there, and I will play for that money, and I'm happy that I've performed well enough that I can earn that much money, but I'm not going to do it in a losing atmosphere. If you're going to take me, you're going to build around me, and we're going to start winning, like right now.
Yeah,
that's kind of guy you got to find.
Yeah. Agreed. Let's talk about a couple of our players for just a second, and I'm going to mosey on here. Yeah. I like what I've seen out of Matthew Olivier of late, and I think he spent so much time being a healthy scratch that he's had some time to think about it. And I think he realized that at the rate he was going, he was only going to play when they played somebody that played a really heavy game, and the rest of the time he would sit. And I think he's more of a hockey player than that, and I think he knew it, and I think he tries to concentrate on that more so than just, you know, looking at the other team's roster and saying, okay, who can I dance with tonight? And I just love what I've seen of him of late, and I hope that there's always a place for him, at least for the next year or two, to be up there amongst our forward group, because I do think he brings a certain amount of grit that we really need every night when he plays.
I agree with you 100%, and I think he's also one of the players that has really benefited from the injuries on this team, because not only has he gotten into the lineup on a regular basis, but now he's doing stuff like penalty killing. He wasn't getting a sniff of that early in the season. So he's getting a chance to take on a bigger role, and you're right, he has really blossomed in that role. I think it's one of those situations where the message is kind of, hey, we all know you can fight. Show me you can play hockey. And he can. And he has been doing that. And so now you have him, as you just said, you have him when you're playing a team where you need his toughness, and you have him playing good hockey when you don't need that element of his game. So, yeah, I agree with you. I'm happy for him. I really am happy for him that he has taken on this challenge, and he has been able to prove the things that he has here in the last 2 months especially.
Yeah. The other guy that I think about it is Texier. I was really hoping for a great offensive year from him, and I didn't really see much from him until they acquired Nylander, and he sat two or three games, and all of a sudden he suddenly has a different gear that I hadn't seen all year long. I've liked his play of late, but there are just so many players that I was hoping that we would get a big year from. He was one. Patrick Laine was one, Adam Boqvist was one, and it just simply didn't happen. And as I look at Patrick Laine now, the best way I can describe him is he just seems to be irrelevant to the grand scheme of things, not only here, but I think across the National Hockey League, and he's fast becoming somebody who just kind of have totally forgotten about.
Yeah, you're right. Unfortunately, you're right, and it's hard to believe that a player with that talent level that we would say that about, but that's what the situation is for Patrick Laine right at the moment. Let me ask you about Texier, and I agree with your assessment on him, and he has been more visible, but I'm going to ask you long-term projection. We're talking about getting a team back into the playoffs and winning and challenging for a Stanley Cup. Is Alexander Texier part of that for you?
Right now, yes. He is.
The way you hesitated, I thought you were going to say no. But, okay, and if he is, but I'm assuming that I see it in the bottom six role. Is that where you see it?
For right now, yeah. There's something about him. I really like him. I mean, if I could, I mean, I think an interesting place for him would be like on the second line, like with Chinnikov and Fantilli. I could really see that and really like that and think that would be something that would work. Of course, if I do that, then all of a sudden I've got Sillinger on the third line.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much offense I'm going to see from Sillinger that I could elevate him to the second line. I like his 200-foot game, but I got to know that he might be more than a 45, 50-point player someday. I haven't really seen a great offensive game emerge from him yet. There's been things I've liked, but the overall, to say that I think he would go out and do that every single night, I haven't quite seen it yet. I would like to see it. I might see it, but I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I agree with you on that 100%. And, yeah, for me, Texier, we're only having this conversation about him because of the change that he made in his own game since he got scratched. Because before that, if we would have had this talk before that happened, I would tell you he's not even on my radar for going ahead, because that's where he was. He's somewhere different right now, though.
Well, one of the issues we've had all year long was not being able to get to loose pucks. He and Danforth are probably as good as anybody on this team when it comes to doing that. It's a little bit different when they're out there on the ice. And Texier is only maybe, what, 24? And Danforth is like maybe what, about 31, maybe? I mean, the difference in their ages, I have to look at him and say, who could I see still being a viable part of this team in 3 years? Because guys don't get younger, they get older. So I'd be kind of more inclined if I had to have somebody that I was just really in love with their speed, he would be the guy I'd be thinking about.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you're right, when you factor the age into it and 2 or 3 years ahead, yeah, that's going to be that's going to be a big deal. I mean, I know Crosby's still putting up a point a game at 36, but that doesn't work that way for a lot of guys, right?
No, he's a freak.
Yes, yeah, he is an absolute freak. So thank you, Lester. Good to talk to you.
Have a good week.
All right, thanks. You too. So that's where we stand. That's what's going on here on this eclipse day. How many of you are going out to try to see this thing and try to see the total eclipse? I think that did I see something yesterday where the total eclipse is going to be has changed a little bit. I don't know. I have paid no attention to it whatsoever because I knew I was going to be here in Florida. And I can tell you the sun is out right now. And in Florida, I would prefer that the sun stay out, just the way I am, I guess. I don't want it to get covered up even for 4 minutes or whatever it's supposed to be. But if you're out and going to see this, or if you're already somewhere to see it, or maybe by the time you're listening to this, you have already seen it, I hope you enjoy it. I hope it is what you thought it would be. I hope it is the lifetime event that it has been drummed up to be for the last 2 months or whatever they've been talking about this. So anyway, Blue Jackets and the Tampa Bay Lightning going to be going at it tomorrow night here in Tampa. That's a game that gets underway at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. Our pregame coverage will start on the radio network at 6:30 and also on TV on Bally Sports. Pregame coverage at 6:30. Blue Jackets and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Lightning in that first playoff, or first wild card spot, rather. That's what I was trying to say. They're in the first wild card spot right now, and they've got themselves 93 points. Toronto, at this moment, I told you that they are playing against Pittsburgh tonight. So at this moment, Tampa's only 4 points behind Toronto. With Tampa has 5 games to play. Toronto has 6 games to play. So there is the outside chance that the Lightning could get there and catch the Leafs and take over the third spot and play against the Florida Panthers in the first round of the playoffs. It's possible. I don't know how likely it is, but it's certainly possible. So it's a game that means something for the Tampa Bay Lightning. That's my point. It means something for them, and they will be playing hard. And then when the next game comes against the Florida Panthers on Thursday, they'll be playing hard because that means something to them. And then we'll go to Nashville on Saturday, and they'll be playing hard because that means something for them. So it's a gauntlet, as I said earlier, that the Blue Jackets are going through on this road trip. But stop number 2 on the 4-game trip is here in Tampa tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Thanks for sending your questions to me on X. You can do that at any time. Find me at Bobby Mac Sports. And as always, when we do these mailbags, you can jump on X Spaces Live and ask your questions of me. So that's going to do it for this Blue Jackets Monday mailbag. It's been brought to you by Pedialyte and the Blue Jackets with the day off today to soak in the vitamin D here in Florida, but back at it tomorrow night against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Until then, I'm Bob McElligott. So long.